CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Just in, a source close to Ukrainian President Zelensky says that Ukraine will propose a partial ceasefire in talks with the U.S. tomorrow in Saudi Arabia. Off the coast of East England, at least 32 people were brought ashore, all of them on board either an oil tanker or a cargo ship that ran into each other. ABC's Marcus Moore at the Foreign Desk.
The U.S.-flagged oil tanker and a Portuguese container ship collided. And we've seen some images that show what appears to be two vessels on fire and thick black smoke billowing into the air.
The market still volatile today as traders weigh the effect of Trump tariffs will have. The Dow is down 358 points this hour. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case from Colorado on whether state governments can enforce laws banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ children. Colorado, one of roughly half the states that ban the practice of trying to change a person's sexual orientation through counseling. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has announced the return of nearly $10 million of unclaimed property to residents. Officials say the funds include things like uncashed dividends and funds from saving accounts that residents may have forgotten about. Nearly 500 notices were sent out to residents across the state with over $2,000 in unclaimed property. Over 30,000 residents with less than $2,000 in unclaimed property received a combined $3.5 million in checks from the department. State lawmakers have introduced new legislation calling on Wisconsin to reduce its carbon emissions by over 50% over the next 5 years and reach full carbon neutrality by 2050. The bill, titled the Climate Accountability Act, is the first piece of state legislation that would mandate greenhouse gas reductions if passed into law. Lawmakers say the bill also prioritizes equity and economic growth in the clean energy sector. They hope the bill brings attention to the effects climate change can have on public health, economic stability, and environmental justice. Two people were arrested on drug trafficking charges near a youth activity center in Burnett County last week. According to court documents, 48-year-old James Langer of Webster and 32-year-old Christina Dillard of Loyal are both facing felony drug charges following their arrests last week. Authorities say the two were taken into custody near a youth center after they conducted controlled buys of the drugs from the pair during their investigation. Authorities also say methamphetamine, fentanyl, and cash were seized during the arrest. Sawyer County authorities say two men have been arrested following a standoff that involved firearms and explosives. 47-year-old Michael Aaron Colalillo Sr. and 40-year-old Zachary Horan are facing multiple criminal charges in relation to the January incident. Authorities say they responded to an altercation between Colalillo and a victim, which involved allegations of assault, illegal firearm possession, and the creation of homemade explosives. That incident led to an extensive investigation by authorities before the arrests. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose to Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Cavaliers, the first place team in the Eastern Conference, beat the Bucks at Fiserv Forum, 112-100. The Bucks committing 17 turnovers. How did that happen? Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma.
I think how we played offense and we played on our heels a little bit, not playing aggressive, not being decisive. Probably got to us a little bit.
College basketball. The Badgers women's team coach, Marissa Mosley, is out after four seasons at Wisconsin. Her overall record, just 47 wins and 75 losses as the Badger women's head coach. Football, receivers Davante Adams and Seattle's DK Metcalf have found new homes in the NFL. The 32-year-old Adams will sign a two-year deal worth $46 million with the Los Angeles Rams, while the Seahawks will trade Metcalf to Pittsburgh for a second-round pick. The Steelers are agree to sign him to a five-year contract worth $150 million with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy and breezy today. We'll get to around 60 this afternoon, but the wind out of the southwest gusting to 20 to 30 here through the day. Tonight down to 18, we have a cold front that's going to come through. Tomorrow will be sunny, colder, not as windy, 37, but we'll be back into the 60s by later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, March 10th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same since Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same since Friday. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you today. We really do. Randy Manner, retired Major General, is going to be joining us after 10:33. What do we do now without any allies?
Our best.
We're going to talk to Randy Manner about Ukraine, Canada, Mexico, Europe, kind of long-term allies of the United States, maybe not so much anymore. Randy Manner will be joining us to talk about the implications, because that will affect all of us here in Wisconsin. I know it seems very, very far away, but there are ramifications that we need to keep in mind. So Randy Manner will be joining us at 10:33. If you have a question for Randy, please send it in now to janesays@civicmedia.us. Armani Millens is going to join us after the 11 o'clock news. Going to talk about the Apollo Showcase coming up in Milwaukee. Great opportunity for young Black students to get up and perform. So we're going to learn more about the Apollo Showcase coming up after the 11 o'clock news. 11:33, Chris Ramos from Blaine's Farm and Fleet is going to join us. I had heard a report on the Farm Report with Pam Yonke, who, by the way, is wonderful. Oh, everybody at the Midwest Farm Report is fantastic. And she had done a thing about Blaine's mailing bees.
What?
Yes, they mail bees. Lots of people are taking this on. My sister's neighbor, actually, has been raising honeybees for the last couple of years. More and more people are doing backyard bees.
They mail bees?
They mail bees.
Do they female bees?
I believe they do.
There are.
And then we will, of course, wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We have an update for you on a previous tisbet.
Nice.
So stay tuned for that. Right now, though, I did want to start off, since we were just talking about egg prices, in case you missed it, over the weekend, President Trump retweeted an article from Charlie Kirk on his social media website that essentially said shut up about egg prices.
But wait a minute. They were the ones talking about egg prices all last year.
No. Now we should shut up about egg prices.
Why, though? I mean, they're so affordable, Jane.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there. Also, as we were coming on the air this morning, the stock market down again. And we have now effectively wiped out all of the stock market gains from November 5th.
Yes. And it's not just the Dow Jones. It's all of
it's
them.
It's across the board.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. The talk of tariffs really going over well.
And I was telling you this this, I was telling you this before we went on the air. From Friday when we left to this morning, I couldn't keep up because anything tariff was, we're going to suspend tariffs for a month. We're going to raise tariffs on this. Tariffs on this country. Tariffs on Canada. It's so confusing to me. I couldn't even imagine being in the businesses that possibly could get a tariff.
Well, and if there's one thing that business and farmers alike love,
yeah,
it's uncertainty.
True.
Makes their lives so, so much easier.
Yeah.
But we wanted to start off by talking Bernie Sanders. Is Bernie Sanders 85?
I believe so. Let me look it up here.
He is well into his 80s. Bernie Sanders, this from Wisconsin Public Radio, draws a capacity crowd in Kenosha. 3,500 people showed up at UW Parkside last Friday.
He is 83.
He's 83.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And he has all the energy.
He really does.
Yeah.
Lots of people came out to see Bernie Sanders. And again, they had to turn people away.
My friend went to the place and he went to the Kenosha stop and he was in the overflow room or the overflow because it was just too many. They had to direct him and then they had to turn people away.
Right. If you were there, by the way, we'd love to talk to you.
Yes, please.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Bernie Sanders talking about the average American. They worry about what happens when the car breaks down. You need to put $1,000 to get the car going. If you don't have the $1,000, you can't get to work.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get to work, you lose your job. If you lose your job, what happens to your family? Bernie Sanders said we have to come up with the ideas and the agenda that working people all over this country support. Bernie, of course, backs publicly funding elections, raising the minimum wage to $17 an hour, and universal Medicare for all. He also compared fighting billionaires' influence to American colonists who took on the entire British Empire. And he believes the oligarchs can be beaten.
Yes.
It was a massive, massive turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders was not the only ones who has been making the rounds. Mark Pocan. Mark Pocan has also been out on the trail, essentially going to areas where the Republicans won't show up because now they're afraid of everybody.
Well, now they're being told, don't go there anyways. Just don't even bother.
Yeah. Just don't go.
Yeah.
Just don't go. We talked about this a little bit last week, of course, the Republicans' response to people showing up at these town halls who are not happy with their representatives and what is happening in the country right now. They're all being paid off.
Yes.
They're all being paid off. No one's doing this out of their own volition. No one's doing this because the Trump policies are having a direct impact on their lives. No, they're all paid whiners.
We have the intelligence on our own live stream comments, quote, they are Democrats and losers.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, has some comments.
I bet he does.
About the protesters who have been showing up at some of these town halls. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
The problem is they're being ambushed right now by what are some, in many cases, paid protesters. You've got George Soros-funded groups. They're very well organized. They fill all the seats. And so the actual constituents of these Republican members can't actually make it into the arenas.
Please show me the proof of that. Yep. I just want to see one canceled George Soros check. Just one. Just one.
And in the memo, it just says birthday party.
It's graduation.
It's such an old trope. It's almost like if we weren't dealing with the future of our country, it would be like a movie type of aspect to a plot line. But when in doubt, they always go back to the well of George Soros dipping into his bottomless funds to pay people to either protest or go to town halls. There are better ways of spending your money. You know what I mean?
To get the results that you want.
Exactly. Like he could go in and just, I mean, I'm sure he has his influence in the halls of power, but also just this notion of like, you know, how I really want to invest my money. I want to pay someone one time, $50 or whatever to go to a town hall in a library in Wisconsin.
Right. That's where the focus
is. What a great
is.
Investment.
Yes. We're big. He's big on ROI.
Yeah.
He's big on the return on investment. And as always with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, You don't actually need proof.
Never.
You just feel it.
Gut instinct.
You just feel it.
Well, you know, voter fraud, intuitive. They knew it.
They know it exists. They just can't prove it.
No. They don't need to. They just, it's right here.
They know.
Yeah.
They know in the core of their being. Mark Bocan was on MSNBC recently. Gavin, let's play that clip from Representative Mark Bocan here from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I did not see any limousines with George Soros' name on them, dropping people off. We filled the streets with people. And it was interesting. They came from La Crosse and Potosi and Toma and Platteville, all parts, by the way, not of my district, but of Derek Van Orden's, plus people from that area in my district, the western part of my district. Again, a lot of people who are, you know, very much based in agricultural economy. This is going to hurt them a lot. At the State of the Union, I brought a farmer who's lost two of his grants. Even though Donald Trump has said no farmers lost grants, he's living proof that Donald Trump is a liar. And he also is on Medicaid, his family, just to get by, because farming, especially small farms, is not all that lucrative, but you're helping feed your neighbors. So people were just, you know, rightfully so, very concerned. And they just want to make sure that we're doing more. I think that was one of the strongest messages. They want Democrats to do exactly what we're doing right now. And I know some other members are doing, is getting into their districts and make them uncomfortable, because they want to be heard and their members won't listen to it.
Yeah, they're just, well, now the head of the NRCC is essentially told Republicans, yeah, don't hold those town halls anymore.
No, we don't want to do that. But, you know, he did mention that was Derek Van Orden's district. And, you know, Derek Van Orden isn't really big on doing anything for the people there. But if you do want to catch him, if you do want to get to him,
yeah,
there will be a dinner.
It's going to cost you.
Lincoln Day Dinner 2025, celebrating 2025 success. Okay. This Saturday, meet and greet 5 p.m., dinner and program 6 p.m. at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center, Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Only $40. George Soros, if you're out there, can you spot us? Maybe a scholarship fund for some people to go and see him, because I'm sure they'd want to ask Derek Van Orden some questions like, hey, what about the farmers? Hey, how are you helping the farmers? And also, why were you at January 6th and don't seem to care about it? You know, just ask him some basic questions.
Well, he's a very, very brave man, Derek Van Orden. When he's up against teenagers, you know, when he's up against a teenage librarian or Senate pages,
or some reporters.
Boy, he is one tough cookie, man.
I just have a feeling, and this isn't me willing it into the world, I just have a feeling there will be some nice piece of video before or after this program on Saturday, because I'll bet you there are going to be people at this event outside waiting for him like they were waiting for Glenn Grothman at his town hall. I would love to see that happen. Please, if you go, send video. If you get to ask him a question,
even better.
I'd love to see his really mature response.
His well-reasoned response.
Yeah.
And if you do have a canceled check from George Soros, please, I would love to see your canceled check from George Soros that he paid you to go to a town hall to complain. I just think if this money is so much out there, that's always their go-to excuse. We should have lots of folks who have these canceled, who have checks.
$50 says there's little kittens on the checks.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mox, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us to talk about the U.S. and the rest of the world, and especially the situation in Ukraine. So stick around for that. This does affect us here in Wisconsin, even though you may think it doesn't.
Everything having to do with our international allies affects us in Wisconsin. We've been talking about this for a year now.
Yes. And the importance of NATO and all of those things and why that matters and what that means to global supply chains and all those things. So we will get into that with Randy Manner after the 10:30 news. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Bernie Sanders' big appearance in Kenosha on Friday. Well over 3,000 people. And we had asked if you were there. We would love to hear from you still at 855-752-4842. Andrew from Menominee texting in, I was at Bernie's Altoona stop organizing with GROW, which is grassroots organizing of Western Wisconsin. The excitement was electric. Mm-hmm. People are eager to do something to protect our communities. That's great, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. We'd love to see your check.
I was going to say,
to see your canceled check from George Soros.
It's probably like jury duty. You go, and then you have to register, and then they send you a check afterwards.
Because I did just get my check from jury duty.
What was that like? You get like $2,000?
It was $25.
Yeah, baby. You can see a movie by yourself.
I'm going to retire now. So. Glad that's done. We did also want to mention, however, while we're on the subject, there is a big election in Wisconsin. Coming up on April 1st.
Correct.
Wisconsin Supreme Court seat between Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford. Mm-hmm. We just found out last week from the Marquette University Law School poll that a lot of people still have no opinion about either of these candidates. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. People have lives. People are very involved in other things, as you should be.
It's a spring election.
Which is not usually a big turnout election.
Yep.
There needs to be a big turnout on April 1st for Susan Crawford. I think it's important that folks know this about Brad Schimmel. He told a group of canvassers in Waukesha County last weekend he needs to be elected to Wisconsin's Supreme Court to provide a support network for President Trump.
Huh.
And also shared complaints about the 2020 election results. So he's still on that bandwagon, although he's not telling it I haven't seen him say that on any media outlets. He does this in smaller groups when he's talking to supporters.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was the job of Wisconsin Supreme Court justices to be a support network for the sitting president.
You know what? I'm going to write this down, because when Jim Santel comes on the show on Thursday, I'd like to ask him if a sitting judge who's running for higher office as for the Supreme Court of Wisconsin is saying this, just an automatic conflict of interest, period? Is it a conflict of interest for certain things? Because I will bring it up again. The opposers of Justice Janet Protasiewicz lost their minds 2 years ago because she had said she thought the maps were rigged. That was it. So anything after they, but he is saying he needs to be a support system network for Trump. He has spoken outwardly on the 1849 abortion ban.
It's all good.
He has worked to kill the ACA. So really what you see is a man with nothing but conflict of interest in his outside work. Why is your candidate?
Brett Schimmel, this is from WisPolitics.com, has repeatedly said he's running for the Supreme Court to bring impartiality back to the body. At the same time, he needs to be elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to be a support network for Donald Trump. But he's going to bring impartiality back to the court.
What world am I living in right now? This is ridiculous. This is what we've been talking about with Brad Schimmel, is when he goes on up front, and when he goes in his commercials, and I'm sure
very reasonable.
And I'm sure on Wednesday when he's debating Susan Crawford, he's going to come off as very level, very even keeled, very logical. But this is not this is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not going to roll with what the people say, because the people have said what they wanted.
Yeah.
If abortion comes up, he will rule for the 1849 abortion ban.
And absolutely.
That is not what Wisconsin wants, and that is trackable through polling data. So do not let this man fool you. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he will rule as a support system of Donald Trump.
Support network, Brad Schimmel says.
Which, I'm going to throw on my little tinfoil hat right now. You say something like a support network, who else? That's more than one person then. Who else is in that network? Is that other justices in Wisconsin, around the country, the Supreme Court? What do you mean by network?
Very good question.
Sounds like almost like a conspiracy.
No.
I want there to be a good race, but Brad Schimmel is a flawed candidate.
Share what you know.
Share what you know. Yep.
Share what you know.
You're right.
I know it seems like a small thing and it feels like spitting in the wind. But again, we found out last week just how few people are really well-versed in these two candidates.
Yes.
So if it comes up over your brunch, you may just want to point out, and we're not making this up. These are his words.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel wants to provide a support network for Donald Trump when he is on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Big, big backer, as you said, of the 1849 abortion ban, which there are no exceptions for rape or incest.
Yeah.
And the restrictions we have now are adversely affecting women's health.
And we might talk about it maybe this week, but an interaction that Cal brought up to us, I just want to say this really quick. His team is saying he is not supported by billionaires. They're saying he is a grassroots candidate being supported by Wisconsinites, even though the Ulines, the Hendricks, and Elon Musk are dumping millions of dollars. These are not grassroots Wisconsinites.
Or your neighbors.
No.
We have news coming up next. When we return, retired Major General Randy Manner will be with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin parks managed by the National Park Service saw a record number of visitors in 2024. According to the National Park Service data, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway saw the biggest difference with over 900,000 visitors, a record high and a 12% increase over 2023. The Apostle Islands also saw a 3% increase and near record high last year with nearly 254,000 visitors. The increases come as the Trump administration seeks to slash the federal workforce, including National Park Service workers. A number of U.S. Department of Agriculture workers in Wisconsin have been temporarily reinstated with questions over the legality of their firings. On Wednesday, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the agency to reinstate about 6,000 probationary staff members across the country for 45 days. The workers were fired amid efforts to dramatically slash the federal workforce by the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Those workers still have little clarity on their job security after these 45 days. The Rice Lake City Council will discuss the potential purchase of the National Guard Armory building again this week. The council will further consider the purchase in a closed session on Tuesday after reviewing public input on the possible future of the site over the last couple of weeks. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs offered the city and Barron County the right of refusal on the over $500,000 property. The county declined, but Rice Lake is considering using it for affordable housing or a community center. Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of Phil Grassman to serve as the new Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, Grassman will serve the remainder of Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace's current term ending in 2027. Sheriff Wallace recently announced his intent to retire and said Grassman will be an excellent replacement. Grassman joined the sheriff's office as a deputy in 2004 and was appointed chief deputy in 2015. He also served as deputy warden of the Wisconsin DNR in Ladysmith from 2007 to 2016. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's feeling like summer across the state today and shattering record high temperatures as we soar to the mid-60s. Our record is 61 degrees set back in 2015. This is about 30 degrees warmer than where we should be. And don't mind the breeze. It's out of the south warming us up today. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, which is really glitchy today. I don't know what's going on with used to be Twitter. But anyway, I wanted to mention this. Civic Media, if you were looking for a job,
yeah,
and you were looking for something challenging,
mm-hmm.
Civic Media has a number of job openings.
Yes.
We are looking for producers like Calvin and Greg.
I'm a producer.
You are a producer also. We are looking for sales reps. We're looking for all kinds of folks.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a job and you've always thought about, radio might be fun.
Yeah.
Check it out at civicmedia.us/careers. civicmedia.us/careers. There are at least, I want to say, 10 job openings we have up there. It lists all of the duties, all of the responsibilities, everything like that. Check it out, civicmedia.us/careers. And good luck. Delighted to be joined by our next guest once again. He is a retired Major General from the United States Army. Randy Manor is here. Good morning, Randy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Absolutely, Jane. Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg.
I wish there were less to talk about. I really do. Because the last time I emailed you, I said, let's live in less interesting times. That would be great.
Yes.
That would be awesome. Wouldn't it be? That would be just to be bored every day. Let's start with that horrible Oval Office meeting between Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, and Volodymyr Zelensky. And I saw a commenter over the weekend say, President Zelensky expected to have a meeting in the Oval Office. Instead, he walked into the Kremlin.
That's actually a very good way to put it. It's just shocking how everything is turned up on end, that we're now allied with Russia, who has never, ever been reliable as a partner, ever. Even during World War II, Winston Churchill and Roosevelt basically were watching him at every turn, and only because they were trying to get rid of Hitler did they ally, should we say. But it's just shocking that we're not standing up for the concepts of freedom for our friends.
We used to be the standard bearers for democracies around the world. We took it as part of our mission to encourage democracy's growth around the world, to try to make things better. And apparently we've just abandoned all that, and Vladimir is great. And now we're like, as you said, we are more closely aligned with Russia now. If you watch any Russian media, they are delighted. They are delighted by what is coming out of the White House now.
Absolutely. They cannot believe how lucky they are. And of course, the sad thing is that the rest of the free world, the way that we define free world, more free, is united against us. Whether it's Europe or whether it's Japan, obviously even China, and of course Canada. I have some friends in Canada that are extremely concerned with the insane rhetoric and economic policies on again, off again. I mean, no offense, I could do a better job of leading this country by putting out decision options on a dartboard and throwing them blindfolded, and then just repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And since the last time we've spoken, the narrative that Volodymyr Zelensky is the aggressor and the invader and the starter of wars and a dictator has become the popular rhetoric. And just this morning I saw, you brought up Canada, who might become the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, has said flat out in his acceptance speech, we can no longer trust America. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I want to tell you, I wish we had the presidential equivalent of that guy. That guy is smart, versed, schooled, understands economic policy and the procedure and moving different levers up and down to be able to safeguard and do the very best for the people of Canada. And no offense to your listeners, we are going to suck. Everybody is going to find food costs going up at least 10% this year, at least 10%. You heard even the MAGA commentator saying, stop talking about the price of eggs.
Yeah.
I remember that was the exact mantra back in October, November.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about how it impacts the average American about food prices and about job opportunities and our farmers who are going to be hit left and right by all of these, by the world saying, screw America, we are not buying your crap because your president is an idiot and turning everything into this, we're doing a tariff. Oh, we're not doing a tariff. Oh, we're going to do, we have a Republican senator that complained about the tariffs because of somebody from some business. Oh, let's turn those tariffs off. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Let's put them back on again. Oh, wait, let's double down. It is absolute insanity. My three-year-old grandson would do a better job of running this country.
Well, and the justifications by certain members of the media that this is normal, that this is a normal way to run a country. This is a normal way to deal with the economy, changing your mind from day to day. And as we mentioned when we first came on the air, because all the stock market gains now from November 5th have essentially been wiped out, there is nothing farmers and businesses hate more than uncertainty. They have to plan ahead.
That's right. Absolutely. I deal with a lot of corporations and trying to get their boards and their C-suite officers to be able to focus on what are the challenges and the opportunities under the new administration, because there are challenges and there are opportunities. The reality is it changes almost every day. And that basically means whether it's supply chain costs, whether it has to do with employee turnover, whether it has to do with how do they present themselves to their customers, where are they? All of these things are up in the air, and businesses do not like that. So that's not business friendly whatsoever. Americans want government to be out of their lives, and I'm going to be clear about this. We want clean water. We want clean air. We want to be safe from international terrorism. We want our borders to be secure. What we don't want is for our food costs to go up by way more than 10%. And I'm being conservative in that estimate, by the way.
And we also don't want all of the people who check our food to make sure it's safe get fired. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, you think. Yeah, true. So, back to the situation that was mentioned relative to Ukraine, I find it just astounding. Okay, we're cutting off all intel to the Ukrainians. So now they are basically blind because we had a partnership that they could count on us for so many years during when Russia invaded them to start. And now it is literally they're on their own. The Europeans are trying desperately to be able to fill in the gap. At the same time, they don't have the intelligence network that we do, meaning the United States military. And it's just extremely sad. It's going to not go well over there, is the best way to put it.
Well, and essentially by us ending this sharing of intelligence, we're leaving Ukraine wide open for Putin and Russia, right?
Absolutely right.
And then moving further as they see fit.
They will move the borders over. They will pause and consolidate. They will purge the local people. And then they will keep on putting pressure to continue to move toward the West. Same thing. I mean, they have a history of doing this, and they will continue to do this.
It's almost, it's like we didn't learn our lesson the first time.
Or the second time. Any other time. Yeah. Yeah. I was the first general officer to go into Russia after they invaded Georgia way back in 2000, I think it was 9. And the reason I was permitted to go by the president at the time was because we had a treaty with Russia to be able to inspect their nuclear weapons and for them to inspect ours and to be able to fly over their country in a U.S. aircraft to be able to take pictures. And the same thing, we would host them to come over and to verify by flying a Russian aircraft over our facilities. In other words, we both watched each other and we verified sitting in the same aircraft and being on the ground. I was outside of Moscow in a Russian missile base. And I'm telling you, those days were we trust but verify.
Right.
Well, now we're trusting without verifying crap. And that's going to not end well for the United States in any part of a military confrontation.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest, and we're talking about the situation with Ukraine. Now, the U.S. has pulled all of its intelligence sharing, and this does not bode well for the Ukrainian people. It also, Randy, just does not bode well for us, as we're no longer a reliable ally.
No.
Right?
No, we are, quite frankly, not only are we unreliable, we are, quite frankly, the enemy. We are the enemy of the Canadians. The anger and frustration from our neighbors to the north is sadly well-deserved. It's just appalling what we are doing to our friends, all because we have a schoolyard bully running our country. If the president was in a local school and he was 10 years old, his parents would be called every single day with the activities that he would be doing. It would not be tolerated. And I appeal to all the parents that are out there. Would you allow your child to act like this? The answer is no, you would not. And you would not tolerate another child bullying your own in that same fashion. This is inexcusable behavior, not commensurate with that which we expect of our senior elected leaders to hold, or any elected leaders for that matter.
I completely agree with you, Randy, 100%. I just feel like now is the day where I see so many videos of children and adults celebrating their own terrible behavior. So I feel like they're almost it's a reflection of who's in charge of this thing of saying, well, we do whatever we want because we're American. You don't like it. You can just get out. That's their whole thing. Just get out. And that's where we live now. And that's the unfortunate thing. And I don't disagree with you, Randy. I do think your 3-year-old grandkid could run it better.
I think folks are missing as well, Randy, the economic impacts that things like this, maybe you're not seeing it today, but we're going to see it. And if the United States, which Donald Trump, I believe, still wants to withdraw from NATO, one of the reasons America has had so many decades of prosperity is largely due to NATO policing the rest of the world and all of us so that supply chains can run and we can make trade agreements and all of those things, right?
Right. As I mentioned to you before, because of these tariffs and the uncertainty of the tariffs on again, off again, this is not only causing direct harm to American businesses, it's ending relationships, business relationships with other countries who say, I can't count on the US. I've got to find a secondary supply chain to take care of my manufacturing. And once they find those supply chains, they're not coming back.
Right.
And because you want a reliable partner. Just think about it in your local community. If someone's providing you with produce or with food to your store or with parts, you want to know that it's not going to be, oh, we're charging you 25% more today. Oh, actually, we don't have any for you because we don't like you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to find this.
That's... They're eventually going to stop trusting us, and they're eventually going to just we're going to be dried up, and we can't provide for each other. We need to have those import export relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and we had talked to we have the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union on once a month now, and the last time we did this trade war and these tariffs under the first Trump administration, the soybean market was permanently altered because of that. Mm-hmm. Because countries that used to import our soybeans decided, as you said, we can't trust you. We can't rely on you. We're going to go to Brazil.
Exactly. I think when this is all very evidenced, by the way, very sad that the Republican National Committee put out the word to all of its national leaders to say, stop doing in-person town halls mm-hmm. because of those nasty Democrats are breaking them up. Well, let me just be clear about this. The people have the right to speak respectfully and according to the rules. The Republicans are basically saying, screw you guys. We don't want to hear from anybody.
We're going to continue our conversation with Randy Manner, retired Major General for the United States Army. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Oh yeah. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Nair on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by retired Major General Randy Manner with the U.S. Army talking about Donald Trump and NATO and Ukraine and tariffs. And we had one person saying, well, you know, other countries tariff us. Aren't we just, you know, isn't this fair?
I think the bottom line is that tariffs are something that should be used very judiciously and very carefully for specific industries, for specific countries, for specific durations of time to make points, particularly whenever a country is trying to undercut our prices, whenever the government of that country subsidizes them to, quite frankly, to grab more market share. So it's something where specific tariffs can serve your country well to do them, including the United States. Blanket ones that go on again, off again, and very, very
haphazard,
not well thought through, then that does not serve anybody well. And in fact, we're finding, I mean, even the Kentucky bourbon manufacturers are in shock that, oh my goodness, Canada just put a tariff on that because Trump put it on them. And of course, the Canadians are smart. They just took all the U.S. products off the shelf. Yep. Don't even sell them. Forget the idea of 25% tariff.
Yep. George on the live stream says, we finally have a president who's looking after the USA, Randy. How is Donald Trump looking after the USA?
Do you need a moment to laugh?
100% not looking after the USA. Looking after the USA is taking care of our American citizens to provide good jobs, low cost of fuel and food, and to maintain safe environments. He is putting us at greater risk. And guess what? All the people who feel that way are going to find out in the next 6 to 12 months because their paychecks are going to get smaller and smaller in terms of buying power. So I basically say, burn it to the ground. It's all going to, we'll see what happens.
And someone else accused you of being a warmonger. Democrats are all warmongers.
Fearmonger.
And fearmongering, too, yes.
Actually, I'm not warmongering anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what we are doing is the president is actually harming the average American person, particularly in red districts that are heavily dependent upon farming
yep.
and manufacturing. And by the way, people don't realize, I wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal that was published in October of last year talking about how Trump was politicizing FEMA and everything. He has threatened to, not threatened, he stated he's going to cut all subsidies to all states for emergency response. Most states do not realize that 95% plus or minus a few points of their state emergency response offices are funded by the federal government. Well, you know what? Blue states, no problems. They have the money on average to pay for these. Many red states other than Texas don't have the extra funds. So Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia don't have the excess funds to take care of their citizens whenever hurricanes or tornadoes or forest fires come in. So my perspective is, let's just see, we're going to let everything play out and see if you are in a better state by the end of this calendar year or not.
Well, and the other thing I think that people are forgetting when we talk about Medicare and, or not Medicare, but Medicaid and who is on Medicaid, a lot of folks in rural areas take advantage of Medicaid because that's, they are in that situation, and a lot of folks who are in the agricultural industry are on Medicaid.
Well, the sad news is I am absolutely positively a fiscal conservative. I believe that we should have only enough government to get by. The government obviously should be more effective and efficient. However, at the same time, the arbitrary firing of people, the getting rid of the pipeline of people who were hired under the past 6 to 12 months will absolutely impact people who are looking at getting Medicare, looking at Social Security, and looking also, by the way, for veterans. There is no way at all that you can reduce the workforce substantially the way that is happening right now without introducing automated tools to do it. Well, guess what? Automated tools take anywhere between 6 months to 2 years to put into place. They're not coming. So what does this mean? And again, for any person who is going to be applying for Medicare, applying for Social Security, applying for veterans benefits, or have an issue with them, in the next 8 months, you're going to find longer wait times, slower responses, and it's all going to be because the Trump has said, you know what, we don't care about the average person. We are going to hack and slash the workforce rather than thoughtfully figure out how to make the government more effective and efficient. So again, people from red counties and red districts voted for it, and I want them all to deal with the consequences that will be happening by the end of the year. It's not today. And by the way, everything that I said in that Wall Street Journal article has come true. So for the people who don't believe it, they just have to look backwards in time and look at where are we today. And then the same thing applies. Where are we going to be
in 6 months?
The end of this calendar year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say really quick to the fear-mongering text, too. They said that Canada has 250% tariffs on dairy. That's actually only if the Trump tariffs kick in. That'll happen. So there's the context and not fear-mongering.
Randy Manor, thank you so very much for your time. Retired Major General with the United States Army. We will talk to you probably in about a month. Things go well, I'll never see you again.
That's the truth. That's all. Look at the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has arrived for the summit in Saudi Arabia. A source close to Zelensky confirms at ABC News that Ukraine will propose a partial ceasefire that would likely apply to long-range strikes and strikes at sea and discussions with the U.S. and Saudi Arabia that begin tomorrow. The on-again, off-again tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico are sending the markets tumbling. ABC's Karen Travers with more from the White House.
It is causing a lot of confusion on Wall Street, uncertainty for American businesses who, of course, have to handle that higher cost when they're bringing these products into the country. And experts and economists are warning that that cost, of course, gets passed on to American consumers.
Right now, the Dow is down 390 points, the S&P down 114. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi tells ABC that the risk of the U.S. economy falling into a recession early next year is growing. At the start of the year, chances were 15%, now 35%. This is ABC News.
I'm James.